The following is an AUFans.com production. It's a new day, Auburn fans!
It's time, everybody! It's time for the AU Fans Podcast!
Prepare to be entertained and informed.
What about it, punk?
Your life might even change.
Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
You are about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with expert witness testimony. Expert commentary delivered straight to your plate by Stan the Unusual Man Stevens.
Alrighty. There you go, Stanley. What do you say? Give it to us straight, man.
War Eagle, everyone, and welcome to this week's AU Fans Podcast. I am your host, Stan Stevens. Well, the 2013 Auburn Tiger football season continued on an upbeat climb, if you will, as we dismantled in convincing style the Tennessee Volunteers in Knoxville 55-23. This ran the Auburn record to 9-1 with two regular season games remaining. Of course, the big game this Saturday at Jordan-Hare Stadium with the Georgia Bulldogs that we'll talk about a little bit more here in depth in just a moment. This Saturday past game with Tennessee up in Knoxville was the first game of the year that started at the 11 o'clock kickoff time. It was, of course, noon Eastern time in Knoxville, but the early game for Auburn on the road, there was some concern, you know, how we would play. I think there's been that perception that Auburn has not played as well in the early games in the past. So, you know, we came out in the first quarter or so, Tennessee hung in there with us. They took the opening kickoff and drove down, kicked a field goal. Auburn answered back shortly thereafter with a touchdown. And in the first time in maybe from the first time since the very beginning of his career, Cody Parkey had a extra point block. Now, in the official record books, apparently it doesn't go against him as a miss because he didn't technically miss it since it goes on the team. But anyway, so Auburn took a 6-3 lead. Tennessee drove down, tied it up, and then even took the lead 13-6. So, you know, at 13-6, from that point forward, Auburn outscored Tennessee 49-10. I mean, think about that for a minute, folks. 49-10. Playing in Knoxville, Tennessee's taking the 13-6 lead. Obviously, got the crowd into it, got the momentum, and Auburn proceeds to take the next kickoff. And I think it was within just a few plays they had gone down and scored and tied it up, and then really just started kind of dominating on the ground game. I mean, Auburn rushed for over 400 yards on Tennessee, and Tennessee really was never in it. Now, briefly, the Tennessee defensive end made a great play on a kind of a poor throw by Nick, maybe one of the few poor decisions that Nick made, intercepted a pass and ran it in for a touchdown. Unfortunately, the kid spiked the football, which they were flagged for, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct, backed him up on the kickoff, and as Auburn did all day, they dominated the kicking game with a decent return, and then within a couple of plays had scored to again go in at halftime up 34-20. And I remember thinking at halftime when we had scored 30 points, Auburn right now has a streak going and I may have mentioned this in one of the other broadcasts, but when Auburn has scored 30 points or more in a game, all time, they are something like 303-4-4. So over 300 wins and only four losses in school history when they've scored 30 points. Now, that is just an amazing statistic. So with Auburn having 30 points, I thought, well, we're either going to keep that streak alive or Tennessee's going to have a great, great story to tell about breaking up that streak. Of course, again, the second half, Auburn, you know, was to receive the second half kickoff, and they took the second half kickoff all the way back, extending the lead to 41 to 20. And of course, as has been just about every game this year, the halftime adjustments that Coach Johnson makes on defense, and even Coach Malzahn and Coach Lashley on the offense side of things, was so good that Tennessee ended up getting a total of 3 points in that whole second half. Now, there was a lot of, I think there was a lot of belief coming into this game that Tennessee, you know, had played better at home, and they had. They'd beaten South Carolina, who is in good position to win the Eastern Division, and they had also played Georgia, who, you know, our opponent this weekend. They had played Georgia into overtime and really had a great opportunity that they missed in winning that ball game. So even though they had gone on the road and lost handily to Alabama and even Missouri, there was some thought that having played the competition that they played, and they played a tough schedule, coming back home, they might be able to expose Auburn and get back to their winning ways at Neyland Stadium, and that was just not to be. So again, it ended up 55-23, a 32-point victory over Tennessee. This Auburn team has really, really improved week to week, and we're going to need to do that again this week with Georgia coming to town. So what about the Dogs? Well, let's think about Georgia for a minute. Now, the Georgia started the season out, and they lost a very hard-fought game at Clemson, and then came home the next week and beat South Carolina, who, again, looks like they may be the team to beat in the East, but handled them 41-30 at home. And at that time, Georgia looked pretty awesome. I mean, Georgia lost a lot of defensive players to the NFL draft and you know, seniors. So there was some thought coming into this that the Georgia offense would have to carry them. And, you know, early on it looked that that's the way it was going to be. But Georgia started losing, started having players injured at an alarming rate. And, of course, like I say, they played LSU, a team that had beaten Auburn, again, in Athens, one of the great games of this season, one of those whoever has the ball last wins kind of games, won at the very end against, you know, LSU. So, but, again, had players getting more players injured. They subsequently lost then to Missouri at home. Like we mentioned a minute ago, they almost lost to Tennessee and then ended up losing to Vanderbilt. Of course, during all this time, they were playing without their top running back, Gurley. Keith Marshall, their backup tailback, has been lost for the season with a knee injury it suffered at Tennessee. So Georgia's been beat up. They've lost several of their receivers. I mean, I think every one of the receivers at one time missed part, you know, of a game or all the game, and they've got a couple of them that are still out for the season. So, of course, 2 weeks ago, I guess, they played Florida and jumped out on Florida pretty good. Todd Gurley had some big runs. I mean, he's a player we're going to have to talk about, but they jumped out a pretty big lead, you know, in the Gator Bowl against Florida, 23-3. Had to hold on at the end to win 23-20. And of course, this past week they beat 1AA Appalachian State. Now, if you look statistically, Georgia and Auburn almost even. I mean, offensively, they've got the 22nd ranked offense, Auburn's got the 14th ranked offense, but the yardage is, you know, less than 20 yards difference. The rushing offense is where the big difference is. Auburn is the third-rated rushing offense in the country. Georgia is 55th, and there's quite a bit of difference. But where Georgia has a significant advantage over Auburn's in the passing game. Georgia's got the 19th rated passing team in the country, where Auburn is 108th. And I really believe, guys, that for Auburn to win Saturday, this is where Nick Marshall is going to really show his maturity, his poise, all that stuff that goes with that. Because, again, I believe that Georgia will do what Arkansas and Tennessee tried to do and were unable to do. But I think Georgia's probably got the athletes to do it, and that is to stack the box with an extra player or so, force Auburn to throw the ball, and see if Nick Marshall, who's really struggled in the intermediate passing, the 10 to 15-yard passes. Nick's been successful hooking up with Sammy Coates on a lot of long passes in just about every game. But that intermediate, that 10 and 15-yard pass play is where Auburn has got to be, in my opinion, where they need to excel Saturday to keep that ball moving and keep Georgia on their heels. Again, back to the statistics, scoring offense, Georgia averages almost 36 points a game, Auburn almost 39, again, almost dead even. Then defensively, Georgia statistically is a little better than Auburn. They're giving up about 367 yards a game, where Auburn gives up 394. Again, not a huge difference, especially when you take in consideration that Auburn's red zone defense is one of the best in the country. And that's probably reflected in the scoring defense, where Auburn is 22nd in the country, only giving up 20.4 points a game, which I think is about third best in the conference, where Georgia's giving up almost 29 points a game for 77th. So Auburn's defense has been more efficient, if you will, in the red zone to keep people out of the end zone, maybe hold them to field goals. And just like they did Saturday, Tennessee, I think, ended up kicking 3 field goals. Well, if you get 2 or 3 touchdowns, if you score a touchdown every time in that red zone, that's a much kind of different game. But what about the Dogs? What about Auburn and Georgia? I mean, the last 2 times that Auburn has played Georgia, these last 2 years, I think the combined score was something like, it was either like 83, 85 to 7, 38 to nothing last year in Jordan-Hare Stadium. But of course, as anybody that can see or has been paying attention at all, this Auburn team is completely, you wouldn't know these were the same guys, except that they have their names on the back of the jerseys. I mean, it's essentially the same team, but what Coach Malzahn and them have done has been amazing. Now, Georgia's still, believe it or not, still in the East hunt. They play Auburn and Kentucky. If they beat Auburn and Kentucky, they'll finish 6-2 in the conference. And, with some, depending on how things play out with South Carolina and Missouri, could still win the East. So they still have a lot to play for, but not to mention the fact it's Georgia and Auburn. I mean, that's really all you have to say. The South's oldest rivalry. And Auburn owes Georgia a lot of payback, except for Cam Newton's, the 2010 national championship season. It's been tough sledding against the Dogs. So we owe those guys. What do I think will happen? Boy, I have really been torn by this one. Gus Malzahn has just, it has been a new day with Coach Malzahn. I mean, the Arkansas team that we beat a couple weeks ago was basically the Arkansas team that came to Auburn last year and spanked Auburn. I mean, they were having a terrible year, came in, beat Auburn. Then they hosted us at home after being off a couple weeks. And we went over there, and Coach Bielema had a good plan, but we ended up winning that game by 17, winning comfortably. Texas A&M. I mean, Texas A&M hung the biggest loss on us ever, I think, at Jordan-Hare Stadium. And it could have been, it was 63, and they probably could have scored 80 that night. That same defense and that same offense that just got humbled goes to College Station, goes to Texas A&M, and beat them, holding them to 41 points and scoring 45 and really just taking it to the Aggies. I mean, if you watch the game, you could just see the difference in the way the guys carried themselves and certainly the way they performed. So, like I say, I'm torn because on the one hand, I feel like this Auburn team could because even though Georgia's got a lot of their guys back, I mean, these guys are beat up. And if this was 100% healthy Georgia team, then maybe a barn burner. And of course, and then on the other hand, part of me says, yes, Georgia, you know, will find a way. Aaron Murray, one of the most successful quarterbacks in the history of the Southeastern Conference, Georgia's quarterback, has feasted on Auburn the first 3 years of his career there. So, I don't know. Something I'm going to have to go with my gut and go with Coach Malzahn and the way he's had these guys ready. I believe Nick Marshall will make the throws if needed. I would love to see in the paper Sunday that Auburn only passed for 40 yards, 50 yards, like they did against Tennessee, you know, because, you know, not because that's all they could get, because that's all they needed, and they rushed for over 300 whatever yards, because that would mean, again, Georgia couldn't stop the run, and we'd probably, you know, beat them maybe fairly soundly. But I do think Georgia's defense is strong enough that Marshall will have to make some throws, and I think he will. He's had a lot of experience, and honestly, in these, not only Georgia, but then Alabama in 2 weeks, we're going to have to be able to throw the football, and I'm just going to have faith in Nick Marshall that he's going to be able to get the job done. So I'm going with the Tigers 38, Georgia 24. There was a strong part of me that wants to say, you know, 35-31, but it could be. I mean, I won't be shocked, guys, either way. Georgia's played us really well of late, so I don't know if that's what's influencing me, but I know this Georgia team's going to be a lot better, but they struggled with a really, really bad Florida team right now. They lost to Vandy on the road. I know they'll bring their A game, and anything that can happen for them, I'm sure is going to happen. But, you know, part of me is saying this Auburn team is really, you know, it went on the road 2 weeks in a row and won convincingly. Coach Malzahn's got those guys believing. So we'll see. We'll say 38-24, and if it ends up, you know, closer than that, or Georgia upsets us, I'll go back and edit this whole show out and make it sound like I knew that all along. Ought to be a great game. It's CBS. It's the national televised. I know some people going to the game, and you know, I mean, the crowd's going to be, if we start out decently at all, that crowd. This is the kind of game that Auburn people traditionally really, you know, turn out loud and just. If we give the guys, you know, give the fans half a chance, I mean, it's going to be rocking in Jordan-Hare Stadium Saturday afternoon. So, anyway, we'll find out next week how much of a prophet I am. Now, looking around the SEC this past week, as I mentioned, Vanderbilt upset Florida. Will Muschamp is feeling the heat in Gainesville, ladies and gentlemen. He needs to turn this thing around. I believe, just based on what I'm reading, he will survive, but it's not going to be easy for Coach Muschamp in Gainesville. Missouri, of course, took care of business with Kentucky. Now they're off this week, getting ready to travel to Ole Miss and then Texas A&M to determine just how big a season they can have. Again, in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, in a game that was pretty tight for a long time. I think, you know, I've been hearing some rumblings that, you know, no way we can, you know, beat Alabama and all this kind of business. I've got to see how we do this week. I think we've got to beat Georgia. But Alabama, if that first score goes against them and they're down 7-0, it would have even been a tighter game. Now, toward the end, Alabama's, you know, I think talent and depth and coaching and all came together, and they, you know, they pretty much did crush LSU, especially in that fourth quarter. Arkansas acquitted themselves pretty well over in Oxford, even though the Rebels got bowl eligible with a 34-24 win. And then in an odd game in College Station, Texas A&M and Johnny Manziel hung 51 on Mississippi State, but State got 41 themselves. Of course, Texas A&M's defense continues to struggle. But Manziel's still the best player I've seen in college football. I mean, the guy is just amazing. Now, I'm not crazy about all his antics on or off the field, but as far as when he, you know, when they snap it between the white lines, he's pretty tough. Let's see. And of course, Texas A&M is also open this week, as is Tennessee. We've got several. Missouri, like I said, Missouri, Tennessee, Texas A&M. Now, Florida travels to South Carolina, which this is South Carolina's last game in the conference. I look for Carolina to beat up on the Gators or at least win, putting South Carolina maybe in the clubhouse, as they say in golf, you know, sitting there at 6-2, waiting to see what Missouri does against Ole Miss and Texas A&M. You got Kentucky and Vandy in Nashville. I think Vandy wins that game. I think Alabama travels to Starkville. I think it may take Bama a quarter and a half to get going over there at night with the cowbells. State's a much better team, I think, with the Prescott kid at quarterback. And he's a big physical kid. I wouldn't be surprised to see State move the ball a little bit early. But, again, Alabama is vastly superior to Mississippi State. So I would expect a tie to you know, pull away big at the end of that. Ole Miss plays Troy. And, of course, that's about it for around the conference. So, you know, the Auburn-Georgia game is the headliner. Keep an eye on the Florida-South Carolina game as well, and maybe Starkville. Like I say, that might be interesting for a quarter. So, where are we right now? We're 9-1, having an unbelievable season. Coach Malzahn is certainly up for Coach of the Year honors, along with his staff. I mean, let's not forget Ellis Johnson on the defensive side. I mean, Auburn is extremely fortunate to have Coach Johnson up there calling defense, along with Coach Smith, Coach Harbison, and Coach Garner. I mean, our defense has gotten steadily better. We're still, I think, a few players short of having the kind of talent on defense that we really wanted at Auburn. But guys have stepped up. That defensive line. And we've had a few moments where, you know, we've gotten gashed a little bit. But I'm telling you what, I don't know that I can remember a better year at halftime adjustments. I mean, if you go back and look at the points we've given up in the second half, it's not been much at all. Again, I mean, this past Saturday, 3 points to Tennessee, you know, on the road. And offensively, I mean, one of the worst offenses, if not the worst offense in modern Auburn history. 1 year, fast forward 1 year later, and Coach Malzahn, Coach Lashley, you know, Coach Grimes on that offensive line. I can't say enough good things about J.B. Grimes. I mean, our offensive line is one of the top 4 or 5 in the country. Trey Mason's having a great year. Coach Horton coaches the running backs. Coach Fountain on the tight ends and the special teams. I mean, what about the special teams Saturday? Set Auburn record for return yards. And then, of course, Coach Damian Craig, great Auburn quarterback in his time, Auburn hero, if you will, coaching our wide receivers, and they have gotten better. I mean, our receivers the last couple years really, really struggled, and starting with that group, and then you can see the improvement, and especially in the blocking. I mean, this is an area where it just doesn't get mentioned enough. Auburn's offensive receivers, our wide receivers, are blocking. I mean, they really are like having extra linemen in the game. And so I can't just say enough about the overall, you know, direction of the program. And of course, there's a lot of big goals still left out there. I mean, honestly, folks, and there'd have to be some things would have to fall our way pretty significantly. But at this point, any goal Auburn could have at the preseason, all the way up and including the national championship game, is still on the table. Now, again, some things will have to happen, but, you know, it starts Saturday by beating Georgia. You don't beat Georgia, you still got a great year going, but, you know, you've just eliminated a good number of things that are still available. But you beat Georgia, that sets up a matchup with Alabama for the Western Division. And if you can beat Alabama and then go and win the SEC, you may have put yourself in position to play in the national championship game. Now, some things would have to happen that are probably not likely. I don't think Florida State's going to lose. Of course, again, saying that, maybe that'll be the kiss of death for them. Ohio State looks unlikely to lose until maybe possibly Michigan State. They will probably have to play a very good defense in Michigan State in the Big Ten championship. Baylor's got some tough games. Baylor looks awfully good, but they've got Texas and Oklahoma State. They've got some tough games ahead of them, and then of course Stanford would probably have the Pac-10 championship. So could some of those teams? Certainly, some of those teams would. You know, I mean, Auburn would control its destiny against Alabama. Some of these other teams, they're going to play, you know, some tough games. So anything can happen. I think focusing, like Auburn's been doing, on one week at a time, focusing on Georgia, you know, we'll know. If Georgia upsets us Saturday again, we'll get 2 weeks off to regroup, but it'll be interesting to see how we would respond if that were to happen. But right now, everything's out there in front of us. Okay, well, folks, again, we're at that point in the show where we look around planet Earth and we find an Auburn graduate from across the globe. And this week, coming to us from the UK, Preston Stafford. Welcome to the show, Preston.
Thank you, Stan. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with an esteemed host such as yourself and War Eagle. I say, it's just so exciting to be on your show today, and I'm just hoping not to say something utterly ridiculous. I have a tendency to get a little flustered when I get nervous and spout out a few shocking things, like my mother's age. She don't like that very much.
So, Preston, is it the UK? Is it England? Is it Great Britain? You know, straighten out this AU fans host on really what you like to refer to yourself as.
Okay, certainly I can do that. Well, and how long is this show? You probably wouldn't want me to go into all the particulars of what's what because, really, it involves a whole lot of history of several countries and we might be here a jolly long time. It's all rather complicated to outsiders, I find, so let me give you a short answer. The answers are all yes, but here are some details in a nutshell. You know, the UK, that's the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and it includes four countries. Those are Scotland, England, which is where I am, Wales, and Northern Ireland. The rest of Ireland is a republic now and not part of the UK, so Great Britain is England, Scotland, and Wales together. And if it's shortened to just Britain, that refers to England's, just England and Wales. So, yet anyone from any part or any country in the UK is considered British. Although people from Wales tend to say they are Welsh, and people from Scotland prefer Scottish. And I don't know if your head is spinning yet, but I feel like I'm on the verge of saying something that might be just a slight bit confusing, so I'll shut up now. But just remember, the UK unites Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And, it really doesn't matter what you call us. Just don't ever let us hear you say, stupid Brit.
I guess you could have said, hey, dude.
Well, certainly that would get you less beat to a pulp.
Oh, man. So, Preston, I understand you studied aviation management and marketing at Auburn. Tell us a little bit about that. And, oh, by the way, My old college roommate graduated in aviation management.
Well, aviation management, that's an excellent program, and sometimes I wish I'd seen it all the way through to getting a job in that industry. I had also been studying marketing in a big way, and I ended up pursuing that a little more hotly than the aviation management. The two are just slightly related, but vastly dissimilar at the same time. Both fantastic fields of study, though, and I really enjoyed both programs while I was at Auburn.
Well, okay, well, I guess you took the long and winding road.
Well, I guess you could say... Oh, that's a Beatles reference, isn't it? You have the same affliction that I have sometimes.
So, what have you been doing with yourself, Preston? Well, especially as of late, what kind of work do you find yourself doing these days?
Oh, right. I guess I left that out, didn't I? Right out of school, I was hired by a marketing firm, a U.S. marketing firm, in fact. They liked my work. It looked like I was going to be very good at it, and so I stuck with that. I worked several years right there in Alabama, around the Auburn area, and came back to England to see what I could do here. I did a little bit more schooling to follow the marketing path, and eventually found my niche. Right now I'm working with a marvelous, marvelous group of marketing people at a hospital in West Yorkshire called Leeds Teaching Hospital. It's a facility that gives excellent service to patients and has a high standard for educating medical staff. I'm really enjoying the medical field, and maybe one day I'll get back into aviation in a big way. And if not, I'll just let it be.
Oh, and... Now, let me forget to ask you. I think we had some information that you had been on the War Eagle flying team. Tell us about that. You know, that's pretty interesting stuff right there.
Ah, yes. That was such an exciting time to be on the flying team. We had a fair amount of additional flight instruction. We flew races and all kinds of competitions, racked up a good pile of trophies, too. We flew light prop-driven aircraft, and the whole bunch was really like a family. I still keep up with most of my team members, even though we're all across the pond from each other.
All right. Well, Preston, what kind of question do you have for AU fans? I know we're kind of running late on time here, but what question do you have for me?
Uh-huh. Okay, my question is. Just what is it that Coach Malzahn has brought to the table for Auburn? Obviously, he's working with the same players, so that tells us it's not that the players are suddenly better at the game of football. So what is it that's really making such a huge difference, do you think?
Well, I mean, that's an excellent observation, Preston. I've mentioned that a little bit throughout this particular show, and because it is the same players for the most part. Now, Coach Malzahn and staff brought in a few guys. Nick Marshall, obviously a big piece of the puzzle this year. They brought him in, and we've got some freshmen, Carl Lawson, Elijah Daniel, and some others that are playing significant roles. But the vast majority of the team is made up of guys from last year, and I've kind of hinted on this throughout the season, but starting with Coach Malzahn and Coach Malzahn's a different coach. He's focused, he's organized, he's driven. The people around him or people that know him say that he just has a real ability to be able to assess a situation, realize the steps involved to try to correct it, and then just a single-mindedness to do it. And
okay.
I mean, I think you're seeing the results of that this year. I think when you have a good plan, starting with the strength and conditioning program, all the way up to running a very disciplined offense and defense, and a program in general. I mean, Auburn had really gotten completely out of control as a program for whatever reason the last couple of years, and you know, specifically last season. And coming in when he did, you know, in the winter and throughout the spring, and then this fall, all the way up into including, you know, this week, he has just really created an environment for these guys to excel in. And beyond that, you know, it's kind of hard to say specifically without being with him day to day what he's doing, but you can tell that these guys are focused. And they really, I mean, that whole idea of getting better every day, cliche as it may be, is what Auburn's doing. And I think we could all take a lesson from that. Sometimes, you know, in life you get too focused on, you know, what you're going to do 6 months, a year. And when improvement day by day maybe is oftentimes the key, and it certainly has been with this football team. So,
okay.
Appreciate that. Appreciate you being on the show this week.
Oh, sure. Well, Preston, certainly I have to say thank you, Stan, and War Eagle.
War Eagle, Preston. Again, you know, tell everybody over there in the UK to, you know, to keep the faith and, if you will, come together. Sorry, Preston, about all these Beatle references. As you can tell, I am a big Beatles fan.
Well, no worries, Stan. I am too. And thank you for having me on your show and letting me talk.
Anyway, all right, folks, that pretty much does it for this week, War Eagle. And again, join me next week. We'll take a look at Georgia, and we'll briefly look ahead. We've got a couple of weeks before the Alabama game, but we'll look briefly to the Tide and what, you know, what transpires Saturday. So everybody have a great Saturday, War Eagle, and take care. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been an AU Fans Podcast with your host, Stan Stevens. Website and technical support provided by Keith Maxwell. Audio production by voiceofjweb.com. Join us again next week for more in-depth analysis on AUFans.com. Thank you for listening.